Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one lovable package, Glenn Klein online on a beautiful day in Tampa Bay for Throwback Thursday, November 14th, 2019, the only 11-14-2019 in the history of humanity. Let us continue to choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great throwback. It is a throwback here as I come to you solo, flying solo from the Jingleheimer Schmidt Farm Studios in beautiful Tampa Bay. It is beautiful. A little overcast today, but a welcome reprieve from the unseasonal heat we've been experiencing. I know a lot of you beautiful humans across the terra firma have been experiencing some unusually chilly weather, but not here in the Sunshine State. The home state, now the 45th president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, who I'm going to be talking about significantly today. It's a throwback because I have not been doing a lot of politics on the Quality Podcast. After the 2016 election and when the Me Too movement started, remember, it was the first thing that really happened was Harvey Weinstein. And as many of you know, my daughter Hannah is an actress. So when all that thing was, when that thing was really coming to the fore and in the news every frickin' day, I was talking to Hanny and I said, "So what do you think about Harvey Weinstein?" And she said, "What about Harvey Weinstein?" And I said, "You know who Harvey Weinstein is? I mean, it's her industry, right?" And she said, "Of course." I said, "You don't know what is happening with Harvey Weinstein?" And she said, "No, I don't." She said, "Pop," I said to her, I said, "You haven't seen any news this week, have you?" She said, "Pop, ever since the 2016 election that bummed me out so badly, I've turned off the news. And I have no idea what's happening in the world," my eldest daughter said. "And I am just fine. I go about my life. I'm happy. If there's anything that's happening, I will find out eventually, like you're telling me. And I'm so better off psychologically and emotionally." Now, this is a very wise woman. She's going to be 29 tomorrow. Hannah Joy Olson Chiklana Chuck Klein. She and Angel just moved back to Savannah. Angel, her husband, incredible musician, singer, songwriter, got a full ride scholarship to the Savannah College of Art and Design. And she had graduated with her Master's of Fine Arts in theater and acting from there a couple of years ago. They've been living in Atlanta. And by just happenstance, Angel got in front of the people who decide the scholarships for SCAD, which is one of the top schools for art, whether it be acting or singing or graphic design or architecture, etc., in the country, maybe even in the world. And he got one of eight music scholarships. They're back in Savannah. But I digress. She really is a wise woman, my oldest daughter. She gets it clearly from her mother, Dawn. But ever since she said that, I have basically put myself on a diet from the news. Not a fast, as she was on, and perhaps still is, but a diet. Because the news cycle that is reported, whether it be online or on television, in newsprint, is basically the same bullshit over and over and over again. So, and I've felt it. I want to be a happy person, a person manifesting joy. So I turned it off, primarily. I check in a couple times a day. If there's anything happening, one thing you'll know, if there's anything major happening, whether it be CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. It doesn't make a difference what news network you tune into, one of the business channels. If something important is happening, first of all, they will not be in a commercial. They don't go to commercials when there's significant breaking news. And because they have the scroll, the news networks at the bottom of the screen, you can tell what's happening, what they're talking about then, and what's happening, generally speaking, in the news as well. And within about 10 to 15 seconds, you can tell if there's anything important happening or even interesting. Most of the time, it is just regurgitated talking points from whatever the media source is leaning towards. Of course, Fox on the right, MSNBC and CNN on the left. And so you don't need to watch much of it. I have my news alerts. I read my updates in the morning if there's anything interesting. And then I get on with my day. I'm much happier, I must tell you. Today I was contacted by a old colleague of mine from the old radio station in Wisconsin. And we had a really nice give and take for about a half an hour. And it was great to hear from him. But back in the day when I was on a daily talk show that was being driven by politics, not just politics, but it was definitely being driven by politics, I had to be up to date on everything. Every morning reading the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and whatever other outlets that I found beneficial for informing myself and being able to inform and entertain my audience. Hearing his voice today and understanding that it's still going on there, he sent me a picture of the snow that is in the backyard of where the radio station is. It made me be so happy. It made me so happy to be here in Tampa Bay. Plus, I mean, I'm just having the greatest time with our grandson, Connor, who's turned a year old at the end of August. And his pop and his mom, Judah and Candace, announced yesterday that they're having a daughter this spring. So Connor's going to be a big brother to a little sister. I'd miss out on some of that, a lot of that. And so I got a lot of wonderful friends here. I have my family here primarily, even though Jacob and Isaac live in Southern California. Joe's around, Gracie's around, Hannah and Angel we see periodically coming in from Georgia. And Judah and Candace live right here. So it's beautiful. Dawn and I have family dinners with them and on the regular. And I'm really glad to be back here. I'm doing the podcast. So I have a voice. And the reason this is a throwback is because I am going to talk significantly about politics today. The core of my philosophical perspective is really well understood by the listeners to the other podcasts that I do, Sex in the Pews. My worldview is very much heard there, not politically as much as philosophically and spiritually. So for those who listen on the regular, at Sex in the Pews is not for the faint of heart. It's raw, it's funny, it's celebrating sexuality and exposing the historic ill effects of religion. And if you like Howard Stern, Dr. Phil, Tony Robbins type of banter. That's what Jacob calls it. He says Sex in the Pews is like Dr. Phil meets Tony Robbins meets Howard Stern. I like to think that we're a little bit more highbrow, but sometimes not so much than Howard, as much as I love him. But that's that show. This show is basically everything else that I'm interested in. And I am interested in politics, primarily, obviously, because it affects everybody's lives so dramatically, or can at least. What I've been finding since having been on a diet from the political news is that it's not as dramatic as one might think. But there's no doubt that politics and government and the way that our government works or doesn't work is an important factor in society. Plus, the same reason that I enjoy sports so much is because it's real drama in real time. People under pressure, under stress, under competitive elements. There's a lot of strategy involved, obviously, in both athletics and in politics. And it's dealing with people's foibles and strengths. And there's teams. And it's fascinating. One of the reasons, I suppose, that I'm so into athletics and politics is because of my role as a life coach. There's so much to be gleaned from watching people under pressure in real time. But there's no doubt about how ugly things have gotten in this country politically. One of the things that really disturbs me is when smart people say this is the worst time that they've ever seen, or they've never seen this country more divided. These are smart people that say this. These are people that lived through the civil rights revolution and all the violence that was associated during that time. The assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X, the whole Vietnam War protest, and how divisive that was for this country. These are people that lived through those times, and they think this is worse? We had this thing called the Civil War. You might have heard about it. We were killing each other. We were literally killing each other. One of the reasons that I think people want to make more, as bad as it is right now, and it is challenged, there's no doubt about it. One of the reasons I think people want to make more of this time, or the time that we're living in, is because we're so fucking narcissistic. It's got to be worse for us. Oh, for the good old days. The corruption and the avarice and the just the out-and-out hatred for people, not even because of political differences, but because of the color of their skin or their sexuality or the region of the country they were from. That was a lot worse than we have right now. But it is really ugly. I mean, it is nasty out there. And it is not Trump's fault. It's everyone's fault. Everyone that has picked a side and that fights and castigates people based on how they think politically, this is a major factor in this. And those people that have refused to see the value in their fellow citizens are at fault, regardless of where they are politically. I won't play that game. I'm very happy that I don't have a team. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent that leans heavily libertarian. Small L libertarian. I'm not part of the Libertarian Party. They've got their own issues. But generally speaking, I believe in the most amount of freedom that can be infused into a situation, knowing that we have a government, that we need rules, that we need laws. But let me tell you something. We need a lot less laws than we have. And we need a lot more personal responsibility than is being manifested in our country. One of the issues is that parents have abrogated the responsibility of their kids. You see this all the time when there's a discussion of whether they should have longer school years. A lot of parents are all for it. Teachers aren't for it, of course. But parents are for it. Why? Because they babysit their kids. Kamala Harris, the senator from California, whose presidential campaign has pretty much fizzled, she suggested the other day that they extend the school day till 6 o'clock at night. There's a lot of parents that would be for that. But parents need to take responsibility for their kids. The fact that we're in an impeachment situation right now, and the vast majority of the country has no idea what impeachment really is. There's a huge percentage of the country that can't even name the three branches of government, for God's sakes. So just be happy you're logged on to this show right now, because I'm going to explain to you impeachment in my inimitable way, as I do. Donald J. Trump is going to be impeached. He has to be at this point. The Democrats have too much invested in this process, and the far left of their political base will not stand for anything less. They have been enraged ever since the guy was elected. Trump is an unusual character in the history of the country, but we don't have as much record of many of the presidents, certainly their public pronunciations, until we started having radio and the ability to record and film, and obviously now television and video. The thing that Trump said about grabbing women's pussies, you don't think that other presidents have said shit like that? Of course they have. I watched a documentary recently about the famous Washington Post editor, Ben Bradlee. And Ben Bradlee and his wife, Toni, were very good friends with John and Jackie Kennedy. Best friends. While Kennedy was president. And in the documentary, Bradlee admitted that his wife, Toni, his former wife, Toni, had told him that John Kennedy had sexually assaulted her at a Christmas party that they were at. Ben Bradlee said that it did not change his opinion of JFK. Well, a lot of the shit like that happened. Times have changed. And one of the mistakes that we make, of course, is we judge past societies based on the current society mores and morals. That's a huge mistake. Now, there are certain things that have pretty much universally or for a long time been a no-no, like mass genocide. That was not good for a long time. But so, like, we could condemn the Third Reich for their action, even, and that was only 70 years ago, for goodness sakes. But to take down all these statues of these Confederate war generals and the heroes of the Confederacy, it's a huge mistake. This is what totalitarian governments do and regimes do. They erase history. What we should be doing is putting additional information, not taking away information. We should be giving more information about what their mindset was, how people could possibly think, not only at that time that those people were heroes and worthy of a statue, but how people throughout the last century could still be thinking that, and how the debate has been engaged. That would be really good. Are we going to take down, as some people want to, the Washington and Jefferson memorials because those guys were slave owners? Those men set into motion the very process that allows for equal rights for women and LGBTQ people and transgender people, as they were slave owners. You have any conflict in your life, beautiful humans? Contradictions? Yeah. So the way that Trump was recorded saying that women let them grab women let him grab their pussies, that was a different time. That was never okay. But that kind of talk, what was, I guarantee, we know that Bill Clinton used the N-word all the time back in the day. We know this. Clinton was accused of rape. Clinton was an associate of Jeffrey Epstein's. That stuff wasn't cool then, but he's getting a pass, Bill Clinton, relatively speaking. It'll be very interesting to see if they have Bill and Hillary speak at the Democratic convention next year. Trump called Hillary's, as you recall, called her hand when Trump brought Clinton's accusers to the last presidential debate in 2016. But the Democrats and the far left have been enraged ever since Trump was, well, nominated for sure. Remember, they all said there was no way that he was going to be president. So it was a very shocking thing. But it was also shocking because of the way he conducted himself. We have never had a president that's been recorded like this. We've never had a presidential candidate that's been recorded who acts like this and talks like this. The man has a difficult time putting a sentence together. His vocabulary is at about a second grader's level. It's amazing how well he does with teleprompters. He is able to pronounce words quite effectively, but doesn't seem to have them floating around in his brain to access them without a teleprompter. So this is why he repeats things over and over and over again. It's how he conducted himself. But one could argue, and I do argue this, that if Trump wasn't Trump, that he never would have been able to get through 17 different candidates to win the Republican nominations and never would have been able to beat Hillary. The reason that Trump became president, first nominated by the GOP, and then president, is because he is the way he is. And when he was, remember when he was talking about that he was going to be the most presidential, and everybody was wondering, when is he going to pivot, like that scene in the show Friends, pivot. I said on the radio in Wisconsin that he's not going to pivot. I said at the time, he is not going to pivot. Because when he first started gaining ascendancy in the Republican campaign in 2015 and 16, I went and bought his book, The Art of the Deal. I wanted to see what was going through this guy's brain. And Donald J. Trump was the same in the 80s as he is right now. He has not changed one iota. This is what he is. He is a narcissist. He is incredibly insecure. And he is an attention whore. He doesn't care. He just wants to be in the news. He just wants to be on television all the time. Remember, his communication director had said after she quit the campaign that he didn't want to be president. He was running for president to raise his profile publicly so that he could use it as leverage for a better deal with NBC for the fucking Apprentice TV show. What the fuck? He wanted to get a solid second or third finish. He thought that would do it to make more money with NBC. That's all he ever wanted to do. And then he kind of Forrest Gumped himself right into the Oval Office. Melania is said to have bawled her eyes out when it was announced that he had won the election. Jesus. She's almost worth it to have Trump as president. Man, is she an attractive person. Whew. Love to see him, Melania. The fact that she's with him, of course, brings her character into question. But nonetheless, she is a very, very attractive lady in my humble podcast host opinion. So the Democrats have been freaked out ever since minute go from Jump Street with this guy. And they started talking about impeaching Trump before he was ever inaugurated. And then they thought they had him with the Russian investigation, and there was not enough there. And they continued to show themselves to be really ineffective politically. They could have done so much for the country since taking over the House of Representatives in 2018. There's things to cooperate on with the Republicans in the Senate, but they're so fixated. They're so enraged. There's the term, the Trump derangement syndrome. People have that. That's why I turned off the television and the news primarily, because I didn't want to get Trump derangement syndrome, and I didn't want to get aggravated at the knucklehead Democrats all the time for misplaying their hand. And to have to see Hillary over and over and over again making excuses and now contemplating getting back into the race or into this race. Come on, Hill. Jeepers. No, people literally, we've heard this, celebrities having to go to therapy because Trump's president? Really? Do people not have any historical perspective at all? If Trump wasn't the way he is, he'd be a effective, conservative Republican president. I appreciate his instinct to pull our troops home as a libertarian. What has it gotten us? A mess. I appreciate the fact that he recognized Jerusalem not only as the capital of Israel, but moved our embassy there. Why shouldn't Israel be able to say where their embassy is? Other guys said that they were going to do it and other things like that, but Trump actually did it. Now, he's a congenital liar, but politically, he's kept a lot of his words to his campaign. What he campaigned on, he has leaned that way. He has nominated, and the Republicans have confirmed a huge number of conservative justices, two justices, and many, many federal judges. This is going to shape the judiciary in this country for a long time. I don't agree with it. I'm just saying that this is within the an acceptable norm as far as policy is concerned. Lower taxes, lower regulations. He opened up the XL pipeline. He's continued to kowtow to the evangelicals, as any good conservative Republican president would have to do. The left has their extremes, and the right has theirs. And they're the ones that are pushing the agenda on both sides. And he's spoken to that. The fact that he does not want to allow transgender people to continue to serve in the military, that's fucked up. But that speaks to the evangelicals. His foreign policy, the way that he's reached out and been in not close proximity to arranging a deal with North Korea, has been, that's a good thing, I think. Whether the policies towards China and the tariffs are a good idea, that's arguable. We'll see what happens. But those are policies. These are policies that other people have championed. Trump has embraced them for whatever reason. His comments about that there were people on good people on both sides at Charlottesville were deplorable, to paraphrase Hillary Rodham Clinton. And the reason they were deplorable is not what he said. It was that he didn't get out in front of it. I'm sure what he was saying was that there were people who would support, good people who could think that it would be a okay idea to keep the Confederate statues up, or that the Confederate battle flag should still be allowed to be flown. I don't think so. I don't think it should be against the law, but I don't want it flown with my tax dollars. We have the biggest public display of a Confederate flag in the country here, east of Tampa, but it's on private land. It's on a private Confederate cemetery. And Hannah and Angel, every time they go by it, they flip it off. And so I've embraced that tradition. But it's an embarrassment. But I don't think it should be illegal to fly one. Maximum freedom, maximum personal responsibility. So Trump's behavior or his policies in office are within an arguable, acceptable level. It's his behavior. It's his mannerisms. It's his articulation of life. That's the problem. Remember when he was first president, he was meeting with all these world leaders, and he was, I don't know, two or three rows back with this group of leaders, and he just kind of elbowed his way through to the front? This is the man who's president, the most powerful man on the planet. But should he be impeached for this? Should he be impeached because he's a fucking knucklehead? I don't think so. What he is being accused of is basically taking the military aid and the financial aid that was slated for Ukraine and withholding it unless the new president of Ukraine would investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. If you follow this at all, you know this. And he never specifically said it, but he certainly more than implied it on the quote-unquote perfect phone call. Perfect phone call, he calls it. If you get him in short doses, he can be pretty entertaining. But the reason that people support him like they do is because this is how fed up they are with the other side of the political spectrum. The media, the Democrats, corporate America, academia. There is a segment of the population, and they obviously lean conservative, that are so frustrated with the double standard and with the disrespect of this country from their perspective. I mean, generally speaking, people on the left really do not like this country. They want to, as President Obama used to say, transform this country into something that it's not. It may be there eventually, but it ain't there right now. They don't want patriotism. They don't want to stand for the national anthem. They don't want to support our troops and honor them, law enforcement, this whole movement to abolish ICE. ICE is law enforcement. Do police departments have issues and have corruption? And do they overreach? Of course, it's called people. If you have people involved in anything, I don't care what it is. The Houston Astros, who just lost to the Washington Nationals for the World Series, it just came out, I think, yesterday, that the Astros were cheating and stealing signs with three different managers, including the year they won the World Series 2 years ago. And everybody likes A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager. He's probably a great guy. But the people that are on the right are sick and tired of the status quo. They're sick and tired of the double standard. They're sick and tired of being disrespected, like Barack Obama called them gun-toting, bitter religious people. Remember that one? With their Bible, what he was running? When Hillary called them Trump supporters deplorables? They're tired of that. They're tired of the Virginia governor being able to have blackface on when he was a kid and still being able to be in office while they literally were on the verge of denying Brett Kavanaugh his seat on the Supreme Court because of allegations that were never proven, that were never verified, that were over 30 years ago. They're tired of the double standard. So I saw an image on Facebook. It was great. It's very funny. It had a picture of Trump, a very nice stylized picture. His makeup was on pretty well. You couldn't see like the separation from his neck to his face. He looked good as he's going to look. And it had the Trump 2020 logo at the top. And at the bottom it said, because fuck you, again. So it says Trump 2020, because fuck you, again. Trump is just a big fuck you to the elitist. And this has been a divide in this country for a long time. Richard Milhouse Nixon used to call the people on the conservative end the silent majority. Well, Trump ain't silent. He's given voice to this kind of frustration. And so instead of putting their nose to the grindstone and doing some things that would give them political legitimacy with a very small percentage of people that the Democrats need to win back over in order to take the presidency back from Trump, they have caught Trump derangement syndrome. I talked about this on the old station in Milwaukee about it right away. I said, if the Democrats don't get their shit together, we're going to have 8 years of Trump. And it looks like that's the way it's going. I said at the time when they were deciding who was going to be the next DNC chair that this guy from South Bend, Indiana, this Mayor Pete Buttigieg, this is before he came out as gay. He's the type of guy, veteran, Midwest values, well-spoken, incredibly articulate, clearly sharp as a tack. That's the type of guy that you want running the Democratic National Committee. Nope. That's not what they did. But it's not just a coincidence that Mayor Pete has caught fire in Iowa. And he may do, I mean, he's only 37 years old. He may do some damage here during this campaign. Could you imagine if it was Mayor Pete versus Donald J. Trump? You couldn't get it more opposing, polar opposite candidates. A gay, fit, articulate, good-looking, Midwestern, 37-year-old, military veteran against Donnie. That would be entertaining. I'd love to see that. I wouldn't vote for either of them. I will never vote for another Democrat or Republican. The last one I voted for was Barack Obama in 2008. Because I knew that if McCain was elected, nothing was going to change. And I actually had some hope that change, hope and change, would come with Obama when he said, we're not red states, we're not blue states, we're the United States of America. But he would just have died in a wool Chicago politician. I mean, some of the things that Obama said and did during his presidency, forget about his policies were disastrous. Disastrous in so many ways. But some of the things that Obama did and said, if it would have been Trump, it would have been 24/7 news coverage and it barely got a mention except by the right-leaning conservative press. That's the double standard. The only people that can correct this are the media and strategically the left. The only reason the Democrats retook the House of Representatives and why Nancy Pelosi is now Speaker of the House is because they won districts that Trump had won in 2016 with moderate, middle-of-the-road Democrats. And if they primary them coming up in 2020, the House could go back to Republicans too. If the economy stays solid and the Democrats nominate Biden, which it looks like it's likely, it's really a problem for those that especially have Trump derangement syndrome. The accusation that Trump is a Russian plant, or at least a useful idiot, there's some warrants. There's some things that warrant it. I mean, he's definitely been hooked up with the oligarchs. He definitely wanted to put a Trump Tower in Moscow. He definitely has been weirdly cozy with Vladimir Putin. But if there was anything that said that he colluded with Russia, it would have come out by the Mueller investigation and all the investigations that were undertaken. It absolutely would have come out, and it fizzled. Remember in 2012, it was March of 2012, and President Obama at the time was meeting with the then Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev. And remember, you may not even have heard about this, but he said, Trump, to Medvedev, this is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. This is what Medvedev said to President Obama. He said, I will transmit this information to Vladimir. Now, Medvedev was president. He was kind of like a stopgap in between the time that Putin was president first. Then they changed the Russian constitution so that Putin could be president as long as he wants, for life for that matter. And so the exchange, which was part of it, was inaudible, but it was being monitored by the White House pool of television journalists as well as Russian reporters, and it was on a hot mic. Could you imagine if Trump said something like that? Or what about the insane, immature, naive, hitting the reset button that when Hillary was Secretary of State, she did that with her Russian counterpart. Could you imagine if Mike Pompeo had done that? There was no outrage from the left. No comments. People are sick of it. I mean, it's absurd. The double standard. And I get to look at this objectively. I mean, I'm way more liberal than you liberals on a lot of issues and way more conservative on certain issues than you conservatives. I'm libertarian. I don't have a team. I don't care. I just care about the country. I care about you beautiful humans. So I get to look at it as your play-by-play man and color analyst for life. That doesn't make me a better person. It's just where I'm at politically and philosophically. It's kind of fun. You know, I have rooting interests sometimes. I like Mayor Pete a lot. I would love for him to win the nomination. There are other people on the Democrats that I like a lot. I love Tulsi Gabbard. You talk about attractive. Ooh. But see, she's too middle of the road. She's too hawkish for the far left. The far left doesn't want to have borders. the far right, that's all they want, is to keep people out. There's got to be, there's an answer here somewhere in between. So ever since Trump came out and was elected president, the left has been trying every possible thing. The 25th Amendment, he's not fit for office. That whole thing. He's mentally incapacitated. The Russian investigation. Time after time, the Electoral College. Remember that? They were trying to get the electors not to vote for Trump, appealing to the better angels of their nature. What the fuck? Come on, you guys. Get your acts together. But immediately they said that impeachment was always an option. I mean, within days, even before he was inaugurated. And of course, Trump being Trump, gave them some rope. And so now we're in the impeachment inquiry. This has happened only four times in the history of the country. The first time was with President Andrew Johnson, who became president after Lincoln was assassinated. And the Democrats were not happy with who had taken re-control of the House, and they were not happy with Johnson trying to continue Lincoln's Reconstruction plans. So they impeached him. They inquired, and then they impeached him. But he was not convicted in the Senate. See, people don't understand. They think if a president is impeached, he's thrown out of office. Well, no, that's not the case at all. I mean, for God's sakes, most of the country doesn't even know what the three branches of the government are, and so many other things. But that's what I'm here for, amongst other things. I'm here to afflict the comforted and to comfort the afflicted, and to entertain, to have organized fun with a purpose. There's a purpose in this thing. Impeachment is like a grand jury. A grand jury doesn't convict. A grand jury indicts, and then it goes to a trial. So the House of Representatives, that is now, of course, comprised because of the 2018 election by Democrats, majority, they have wanted to impeach the squad, the far left in the Democratic caucus have wanted to have impeachment for a while. They've been calling for years already. And now it's come to fruition when the whistleblower, who apparently was a never-Trumper, revealed this information, and here we are, that Trump wanted to use the leverage of the Javelin missiles and the hundreds of millions of dollars slated for Ukraine in exchange for an investigation on Hunter Biden and therefore his father, Vice President Joe Biden at the time. I mean, the fact that Hunter Biden was making 50 grand a month in an industry in Ukraine that he had no idea about what he was doing, it's not just a coincidence. But we can't have the kind of investigation and the kind of digging into Hunter Biden that we had into Donald J. Trump Jr. or his father. No, we can't have that. So here we are. The current Congress is in an inquiry. We've had four of them in history. Johnson led to an impeachment. He was acquitted by the Senate. He never was kicked out of office. He didn't win re-election. The second time was John Tyler, who there was an inquiry, but it never made it to the floor of the House. And then, of course, Richard Milhouse Nixon, Tricky Dick. The inquiry was underway, and the Republican leadership went to the White House and said, Mr. President, you're going to be impeached. That doesn't mean he was going to be thrown out of office, but the Democrats controlled at the time both the House and the Senate. Nixon would have been convicted. He made the mistake of not burning the tapes. There was, again, audio evidence of his cover-up and his corruption. I mean, you ever listen to some of those Nixon tapes? Oh, my God. He was using the IRS and the FBI and slush funds, and he was involved with a cover-up from minute go. So he resigned. And then, of course, in 1996, we had William Jefferson Clinton reelected, And then in short order, we started hearing about an affair that he had with a White House intern. He was brought on a different charge with a woman named Paula Jones and asked about the affair with Monica, the unnamed at the time, Monica Lewinsky, and he lied about it. But Linda Tripp, Monica's friend, had suggested that the blue dress that she had bought from the Gap, Monica did, that had the President of the United States of America, his gack on it, she might want to keep that for evidence. And because of that, that's why Clinton was impeached, because we had proof that he had lied under oath. Now, the Democrats made the same type of case that the Republicans are making now about Trump, that lying about a blowjob or many blowjobs in the Oval Office isn't an impeachable offense. That was the Democrats' argument. The Republicans said he lied under oath. It must have been pretty significant because Clinton eventually lost his license to practice law in the state of Arkansas. He's not a lawyer anymore. So they must have considered it pretty significant if they're going to remove the only president that may ever come from Arkansas, his law license for it. But regardless, Clinton was not impeached because he had sex in the Oval Office. Clinton was impeached because he had bad sex in the Oval Office. I mean, you can imagine the amount of sex that has happened, extramarital sex in the White House with the presidents, between guys like JFK and LBJ and Dwight Eisenhower. Nixon, probably not so much. James Buchanan was said to be the first gay president. What must have been going on there? Warren Harding, a well-known philanderer. But we know about Clinton. That was bad sex, Slick Willie. I mean, come on. I did not have sexual relations. First of all, he should be impeached just because he said that getting head is in sexual relations. That's how the twisted religious mindset he was under. He set into motion for an entire generation for people to think that blowjobs are not sex. They are, ladies and gentlemen. You can't get pregnant that way, I think. Bill Clinton. Mm. But he was impeached because the Republicans were in control of the House, reverse of what's right now, sent to the democratically controlled Senate. And, of course, he was acquitted. They're not found not guilty, but what they say in the Senate, the trial in the Senate is to remove the president from office. They're not even saying that he's legally guilty of anything. It's just for high crimes and misdemeanors. It's a very nebulous definition. We know that Obama offered some sort of deal here to the then president of Russia, Medvedev. There's no doubt that Trump was looking for something. People say, well, you know, why hasn't he looked for corruption? And that's what the Republicans say. He was just wanting to investigate corruption. Why hasn't he investigated other people besides somebody that'll probably be the nominee against him for the Democrats? And then the Republicans say, yeah, but he has tried to root out corruption in places like Brazil or Mexico, Colombia, places like that. But none of them were involving a political opponent. So whether you think that that's an impeachable offense or not, or offense, is by and large what team you're on. The Republicans are going to support Trump. The Democrats and the left are going to want to remove him from office because they're scared. If they don't get him out of office before November 2020, there's a very good chance. It's hard to beat an incumbent. There's a very good chance that he could win again. I would say if the economy stays strong, people are very averse to changing course unless they really have to. We've only had a few presidents in the history not to win a second term who ran. Most recently, of course, George H.W. Bush. Jimmy Carter didn't win a second term. We had a nightmare of an economy, and Iran had taken our embassy as hostages, if you'll recall your history. Should Trump be impeached? No, he shouldn't be. The Democrats, I'm just talking about politically. He shouldn't be, because the Democrats need to go to the people in 2020 and say, here's what we've done, and here's what we wanted to do, and here's what we will do. All they're doing is focusing on Trump. What? You ever think about when you turn on the news and it's just the same bullshit over and over and over again, like it is right now? You think, if this wasn't happening, what would they be reporting on? What would they be fixated on then? There's other things happening in the world. Especially with the fact that the election is right around the corner. Let the American people decide. With all the interference from social media, from other countries, whatever the case, let the candidates make their case and let the voters decide. That's what, because if they somehow got Trump removed, there might be violence. More violence than the left has done since Trump became president. And there's been plenty of violence and protests. Antifa and the attack that they've taken, really ugly stuff. But the Republicans are not going to remove Trump from office unless something between now and the time that they start the trial next year. And you know what? They're going to want to draw it out, because it's going to take all the oxygen out of the Democrats running for president. And here's another fact. Right now you've got Harris and Booker and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, all senators who are going to have to be sitting as jurors. The 100 senators are the jurors. They're not going to be able to be in New Hampshire and Iowa, not as much as they would be. And so that is going to be a really incredible opportunity for Joe Biden and Mayor Pete, because they ain't going to be in the Senate. I've heard a conspiracy theory that Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic powers that be are actually doing this because they want to have Joe Biden as the nominee. They think that he has the best chance of beating Trump. And it's probably true. In those districts that they need to win, in places like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio, I think that Biden does have the best chance. If the economy's strong and Trump is doing his thing, it's going to be difficult to unseat an incumbent. Very difficult. But this is really unwise politically for the Democrats to do. And I have never seen a president. Now, when Obama was running for president, he was almost a messiah-like figure to a huge percentage of the Democrats, and certainly the African-American community in this country. Not so much the second time. Remember when he took the nomination and the nominating, his acceptance speech was at a football stadium? They had slated to take another stadium in Charlotte, but they couldn't fill it. Felicity for Obama was by far enough to beat Romney. But I have never seen the kind of loyalty and passion and intensity. I mean, Trump continually fills these arenas around the country. And it doesn't make a difference if it's in Mississippi or Minnesota. He can put 20 to 25,000 people. Nobody else could do that on the regular. So the Democrats have a really tough road to hoe with him. And from the minute go, back when, before he was inaugurated, I started talking about this, because we need a strong Democratic Party. We need a strong Republican Party. We need people of wisdom and that are willing to do what's right ultimately for the country, considering political issues. This has always been the case. George Washington was the only president without a party. From that point on, we had the Federalists. John Adams was a Federalist. Thomas Jefferson was a Republican. The Republicans become the Democrats. Eventually, the Federals become the Republicans. But there's been Adams and Jefferson were great friends until they weren't. And there was a lot of mudslinging, especially by Jefferson and by Alexander Hamilton in support of Adams, until Adams and Hamilton had their breakup. And that's why Jefferson became president. And Adams was one of the only presidents that only had one term, as well as John Quincy Adams. That was the only time, of course, that we had a father than a son until the Bush boys. And everybody thought that there was a good possibility that in the same way John Quincy Adams didn't win re-election, like his father, that George W. Bush would not, just like George H.W. Bush. But John Kerry was not a good candidate. Basically, people elect the man or woman that they would want to go out and have a beer with. So when you look at it, who would you rather have a beer with? Mitt Romney or Barack Obama? Who would you rather have a beer with? Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan? Who would you rather have a beer with? Bill Clinton or George H.W. Bush? Or Bill Clinton or Bob Dole? Or Barack Obama or John McCain? McCain probably was pretty fun, I would think. Or Donald J. Trump? Or Grandma Hillary? And if they put Biden in front, I mean, the man has been stumbling and bumbling, and he's fit. He's lean. He looks like he works out, takes care of himself. As the 45th president of the States United continues to eat fast food and whatever he wants, apparently, do whatever he wants. If they put Biden up, unless the economy takes a dump in October of next year, and unless the Democrats significantly get their act together, not only could we have another 4 years of Trump, but the Republicans could take the House again. That would be a really tragic turn if you're a Democrat. The Republicans would not be impeaching Nixon, would not be impeaching Trump right now. This would not even be an issue, but because of the focus primarily on health care by the moderate Democrats who were running in Trump districts, they were able to turn those seats. And here we are. For those of you on the left and that hate Trump, think about what you're doing here. Think about, is the country more important than your hate? Who is speaking rationally without hate towards a guy who behaves in a very hateful way? Hate never defeats hate, ever. Rationality, logic, ultimately love defeats hate. So, I mean, have at it. You know, this is what's going to happen. The Democrats are going to impeach. They're going to send the indictment to the Senate. The Senate is going to acquit. There might be a couple of Republicans that vote to convict Trump in the Senate, just like there were a couple Democrats to vote against this inquiry. And there will be more Democrats to vote against the impeachment. Those are the Democrats that are in Trump districts. And they've got issues coming up next year, because that will be a big issue, because the argument is going to be made by the Republican candidates for those congressional seats. They were doing nothing but fixating on impeaching this president who's got the lowest unemployment rate, the lowest African-American unemployment, blah, blah, all the Trump talking points. It may be too late for the Democrats to turn around this election already. I mean, Patrick Duvall just got in, the former governor of Massachusetts. Why would Mike Bloomberg and Patrick Duvall be getting in at this late date if the Democrats were doing a good job against Trump? Boy, I'm glad I'm not a Democrat, but I'm glad I'm not a Republican either. Get your news from a wide variety of sources. Have a balanced diet. If you're on the right, turn on MSNBC. Check out CNN. If you're on the left, check out Fox News. Go to the Wall Street Journal. Go to the Washington Post, the Washington Times. You'd be amazed at what you hear. I like, when I am listening to politics and paying a little bit of attention, and I've paid attention to the hearings yesterday, I get it from all sides. I want a balanced diet. I love a good steak, but if I ate steak every day, I'd be sick of it. Give me some good vegetables, some good steamed broccoli, some salmon, and steak. Yes, balanced diet, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I hope this was enjoyable for you. It was for me, and maybe gave you some things to think about. You can contact me at coach@glennklineonline.com. It's coach@glennklineonline.com. If you haven't subscribed to the Glenn Kline Online podcast, you just can go to Apple Podcasts and search that and hit the subscribe button. We'd love for you to give us a little review and let us know what you think about it. Ideas for shows, interviews, whatever you want to communicate. Also, my coaching site, coachglennkline.com, is available, and I have a room for right now for two new clients who need primarily help in their relationships. So if that interests you at all, feel free to shoot me an email at coach@glennklineonline.com. And as I mentioned before, the Sex in the Pews podcast is our primary effort right now, and it's really some amazing stuff. I mean, we've really touched a lot of lives, having a lot of fun. We are approaching 15,000 downloads, and it's pretty significant. It's less than a year old. Having a lot of fun with it, and if that interests you, please log on to sexinthepews.com. Thank you so much for paying attention, and just know that you are loved. And until next time, this is Glenn Kline Online saying, Shalom, everybody!